Welcome to the program, The Spirituality of the Catholic Church, as Father Paul Keenan teaches on God and man in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now, Father Paul Keenan.
I'm Father Paul Keenan. I'm Assistant Director of the Office of Communications for the Archdiocese of New York. It's a pleasure to be with you once again as we talk together about the spirituality of the Catholic Church as it is found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I hope as you and I are going through this series together, you're beginning to see a little bit what I mean when I say that this Catechism of the Catholic Church is not just a book of information or instruction, although it is wonderfully that, but it is also a guide for life, an opportunity for us to think a little bit more deeply about life and about what we were meant to be. Because sometimes people ask us, they'll ask us, what's the point of these things that your church teaches, your religion teaches? And sometimes we just sit and say, oh, I don't know, really. And what the Catechism is teaching us, what the Church is teaching us in this day and age, is that these truths of our faith are not just doctrines that are out there to be memorized and remembered, but they are guidelines for life. They're opportunities for us to sit and think a little bit more deeply about life, and invitations to do that. And you know, we really need those times and those opportunities to really think deeply about life, because we are so busy. We have so many things we have to do and get done, and projects, and there are the kids, and there's the school, there's the money that we need to pay for all those things, and there's the games and the activities and the things we get caught up in. And as we get a little bit older, there are other things, there are health issues, and there are money issues even more. And, well, we just get all caught up in those things. And pretty soon we sort of forget what time is for, what time is all about. And we need to take time to think a little bit more deeply about life. And the Catechism gives us something to think about. I guess sometimes when we say we need to take time to think more deeply about life, we kind of scratch our heads a little bit, because, you know, okay, I go and I carve out the time, and I've given myself the time, and now, let's see, what exactly is it that I'm supposed to think about? Now I have this time, and I have this time all set up, but I don't know what to think about. What am I supposed to think about with this time? Well, the Catechism gives it to us. It tells us. It breaks it down into four big groups. Breaks it down into the life we believe in, which is fundamentally God, the life of God. Breaks it down into how we worship. Breaks it down into what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Where we should walk and not walk in our world. And finally, into our life of prayer. So we have four big categories to think about. I call them, when I talk about the Catechism, our head categories, which are the truths that we believe. Our arms categories, as we extend our arms and our hands upward in worship to God. Our legs categories, as we think about where we should walk and not walk. And our heart categories, as we think about how we should pray. It's our whole life, you see, that the Catechism takes up. And as we begin to look at it and explore it and go through it, sometimes it can be kind of daunting. I've had people tell me, I picked up the Catechism and I tried to read it, and I really couldn't understand that it was really hard and complicated for me. Well, that's why we do these kinds of things. That's why we do these kinds of programs. You listen to this, you get some ideas, you go back and you read it, and suddenly something begins to catch with you and to make sense. And then it makes sense to you why you should use this time to think about life. Because we need it. We need to think about life. Life is big and complicated, and it goes all too fast. And there are such crazy ideas out there about what life is and what life isn't. And who do we listen to? I mean, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." How do we know we're hearing his voice? How do we know? Well, something to think about. We listen. We listen to the church. We listen to Revelation. We listen to the tradition of the apostles who followed in the footsteps of the apostles. And we put those things together and we listen down in the silence of our own hearts where God lives as well. And all of those things together begin to communicate one voice, one pattern to us. And that's when it begins to make some sense to us that we took that time to think deeply about life. Take time. Don't just rush around. Take time. That's what all of this is about. That's what we're being encouraged to do. Because unless we take time, we're not going to live life very deeply. In fact, we are about to enter now into the second part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you were to have the Catechism with you and were to look at it and open it up, you would know that this is the part of the Catechism which deals not with the Creed now, that's what we've been doing, but which deals with the liturgy, the worship that we do in the Church, about the celebration of the Christian mystery. Now, all of this that I've been saying to you the last few minutes about taking time, that's what this next section is all about. Because worship is the way in which we use time to give glory to God. Basically, fundamentally, that's what our worship is. The church encouraging us to take time to give glory to God, to discover the godness in our daily life, and to give glory to God. See, we are not, in this next section, going to say anything new and different from what we just said in the section before, except, you see, it's a different expression of all of that. We're still going to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We're still going to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. But now, instead of saying it with our minds and our thoughts, and our lips, we're going to say it with our worship. It's going to be a different expression of the same mysteries. So listen and see how we say these things, these fundamental things, in a different way. Because sometimes when we say things again and say them differently and see ourselves saying them differently, we begin to get them in a different way and we begin to understand what it is we're really supposed to get. Liturgy, I said, is really, well, it means worship of God. Fundamentally, in its root, it means a public work or a source, a service, or something like that that we do on behalf of other people. Basically, that's what liturgy means. But when you and I talk about liturgy, when the Catechism talks about liturgy, when the Church talks about liturgy, it means taking time. And there's a concept in the liturgy called the sacred time, called the time of God. And that really is what liturgy is as well. Because when we take time, let's just take one simple example. When you and I take time to go to Mass on Sunday, it's our time that we're taking, right? But we're taking time to enter into God's time. Because what do? We go back to the readings of the Old Testament. We go back to the readings of apostolic times. We go back to the life of Jesus. We go back to the Last Supper. We go back, don't we? We take time to find God's time and to find God's time touching our time so that when we go out again into our life and into our times, we are able to transform it, to find God there a little bit more, have a little more peace in the midst of it all. So you see, just that one simple example, when we take time to go to Mass, we are taking time to go into God's time and allowing God's time to transform our time. And that really is what liturgy is. It's supposed to be, it's meant to be, taking time. Time for God. time to get into God's time. Because one of the things that we've been saying, remember I told you there weren't going to be any new truths in here, just truths said in a different way and with a different expression. One of the things that we've been saying all along and talking about the Creed is that God has been preparing all of these things for all eternity since before the beginning of time. Even the church, which at first glance looked like an add-on, a second thought, even the church we saw was part of God's original plan. Remember that interesting statement of the early Christians? The church was invented, the world was invented for the sake of the church. Church has always been a part of God's plan. And God has always taken time. We've been seeing that all along. And so we're going to see it again now as we look at how the church worships. And that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. You may be more familiar with the word sacraments, and maybe it surprises you a little bit to know that the sacraments are the ways in which the church worships. Because most of us, when we think of worship, think of what we do on Sunday. And we go to Mass. That's when I worship. But actually, we worship at a lot of other times and in a lot of other ways. And in these next couple of weeks, we're going to see the ways in which the church worships. And it may surprise you. But let's today talk about worship itself. What is this taking time that we do to get into God's time? Well, fundamentally, for us as Christians and Catholics, our worship is a proclamation of the gospel. I mean, that's really what is done, just for example, in the Mass. The gospel is proclaimed. Not just that one part of it, but I mean the whole Word of God is proclaimed, the whole expression, Old Testament, New Testament of God's love. And then on the basis of that, a wonderful act is performed, the act of Holy Communion, the act of God becoming one with us when the body of Christ and the blood of Christ are presented to us under the appearances of bread and wine. That's a wonderful act, and so is our act of offering ourselves and our lives to the Lord, and in turn opening ourselves to receive the wonderful gift of Himself that He gives to us. The liturgy. Just think of the liturgy that is most familiar to you right now, and then later we can expand it. For many of you, it may simply be the going to Mass on Sunday. The liturgy is a participation in Christ's own prayer. Remember, at the Last Supper, Christ said that wonderful prayer called the priestly prayer, where He prayed for the disciples and asked God to take care of them and prayed that they would all be one, and that they would all stay close to Him. He prayed for them. It's called the priestly prayer of Christ, and our liturgy participates in the prayer of Christ, the prayer that Christ offers to His Heavenly Father. But I'm going to tell you now something that the Catechism quotes, but it has always, always, always been a favorite quote of mine from Vatican II, from the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy. It's this quote: "The liturgy is the summit toward which all the activity of the church is directed. It is the source from which her power flows." Worship is like a mountain. It's like going up on the mountain and finding God there and worshiping and honoring and praising Him, and from all of that, getting the power to go back down off the mountain and back into the valley where we live to bring the beauty and the grace of God there and to find it there. The liturgy is the summit toward which all of the activity of the church is directed. It is the source from which her power flows. Now, the Catechism tells us that if you're going to have liturgy, if you're going to understand it, then you've got to have what they call catechesis. You've got to have the basic truths of our faith, the truths about Jesus. Otherwise, we're just sort of going through the motions when we go there. And you know, that's a sad thing, though. The church in the catechism points this out, and when you stop to think about it for a moment, it really is I think, kind of a sad fact of Catholic life, where I find that so many Catholics don't even really understand some of the basic things about their faith. And I think that's one of the reasons they, when they go to church, they say, oh, I don't get anything out of it. Because you really have to kind of know the Lord and be familiar with the fundamentals if what goes on at Mass is going to make any sense to you. And that's why we need to use every opportunity to really bring to people the message of the Lord and his love for us. Because it's a powerful message. It's a message we need very much in our lives. And once again, when we do that, I think we will re-experience the need to get together and to go to church. Because we'll realize that we can't do it alone. And we'll realize that what we do in that hour in church on Sunday is very, very important for what we do in our lives the rest of the week. It's all part, I think, of learning to speak the language of faith. Remember I said before, faith is like a foreign language. You know it yourself. If you stop speaking a foreign language that you learned back in high school or college, if you stop being acquainted with it as a living language, pretty soon it leaves you. And one day you're out in the street and you hear somebody speaking that French or that Spanish or that Greek or something, and you say, gosh, I used to know that language. What happened to it? Where did it go? Well, you stop surrounding yourself with it, and away it went. And I think that's what happens to people with their faith. They stop surrounding themselves with the things of faith, and then when they need their faith, it's pretty weak. The liturgy is meant to bring our faith together, to enliven our faith. It's taking time to make our faith grow, to make our faith grow together. The liturgy. Now, remember I told you back in the start of everything here, and I've mentioned it several times since you and I have been together, there are going to be a couple of themes that repeat themselves throughout the different sections of the Catechism. One of them is that man is made in the image and likeness of God, and the other is a theme of the Trinity. Over and over again in that first section, we talked about the Trinity. I believe in God. I believe in the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, again, here now in this second section, the Church tells us that our worship is the work of the Holy Trinity. We worship the Father, the God who gave us life from the very beginning of time. He's the source and goal of our worship. Christ is involved with the liturgy. He is the one who, in whom we worship in our earthly liturgy. And he is our high priest. He's the one who participates in the liturgy of heaven. And the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts for the reception of Christ, recalls the mystery of Christ, makes present the mystery of Christ, and brings us into communion with Christ, and so forms his body. So they're all there. They're all present each and every time the Church worships. Now, I said to you we're going to have to expand the usual way in which we think about liturgy, because I think most of us think about the Sunday Mass when we think about liturgy. And actually, the liturgy of the Church is any way, any official way in which the Church prays. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean not only the Mass on Sunday, but I mean the seven sacraments as well are part of the Church's worship. They're part of the way in which we worship God. They're an important part of that. And so when we talk about liturgy and the way in which the Church worships, we need to expand our thoughts somewhat, not just to think about Sunday Mass, but to think as well about baptism, about confirmation, about Holy Eucharist, about the sacrament of forgiveness and reconciliation, about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, about the sacrament of holy orders, and the sacrament of matrimony. Because the sacraments are, sure, outward signs instituted by Christ to give grace. We all remember that wonderful old definition, which really says it all. But the sacraments, if we stop to think about it, are ways in which you and I can map our experience in life and to map it according to the map of God. I mean, we sometimes feel so lost in life. We sometimes feel we're on a journey and we don't know where we've been and we don't know where we're going. Well, the sacraments, the whole system of sacraments that the church offers to us is a way in which we can map the journey of our life. There's the beginning of our life. And we have three sacraments that mark the beginning of our life. Sacrament of baptism marks the beginning, if you want to put it that way, the real beginning, the first beginning. The sacrament of confirmation marks our call to service and maturity. The sacrament of the Holy Eucharist marks our growing up to be incorporated into the body of Christ. We're old enough to take solid food now, in a sense, in that spiritual sense. And that solid food that we take is to really be absorbed into the body of Christ. We really receive Christ's body and Christ's blood. And so we become Christ's body and Christ's blood in a very, very real way. We become the body of Christ. Those beginning sacraments we call the sacraments of initiation, and they are reminiscent of the beginnings of our life when we are born and we begin to grow up a little bit in wisdom and age and grace, and hopefully we begin to get it into our heads and into our hearts that the universe is not here to be of service to us, but we are here to be of service to the world and to the universe. My goodness. Isn't that a lesson we want kids to learn, huh? And so many of them these days don't seem to learn it too well. That we're here not to be served, but to serve. Who said that before me, huh? Jesus. I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many. Well, as we grow up, we learn that, hopefully. We begin to learn that this universe is not here to serve me, but I'm here to serve it and to serve other people. And the more I give my life in service to other people, the more deeply I can enter into the true meaning of life and the true joy of life. And then that next sacrament, the sacrament of confirmation, really begins to make sense to us because that's what it does. It's a sacrament of service. It orients me toward service of the community through the realization of what my gifts are, thanks to the Holy Spirit who reveals that to me. And then there's the Eucharist, which makes me deep, says I'm old enough to receive solid food. So we begin. And those three sacraments, the sacraments of initiation, mark our beginning. And after we've begun, well, sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we get sick, and there are times in our life when we need to be healed spiritually and physically and mentally, and we have two sacraments that speak to that time of needing healing in our lives. The sacrament that the Catechism refers to as the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, which heals us spiritually, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which can also heal us spiritually, but also physically when we're sick and we need the special help of God and the special love of our faith community. So for those times when we need healing, we mark those times by a timeline and by two sacraments that speak to those times. And then there's a third point in our lives, in our natural lives on earth, where we give ourselves away in service to others. And that's adulthood. That's where we find our career and we find our place and we find our state of life and we spend the rest of our lives transforming the world, doing what it is we're here to do, giving what it is we're meant to give to make this world a better place. And we have two sacraments in the church which celebrate those times or that time in our life, the sacrament of orders and the sacrament of matrimony. And the Catechism refers to those as the sacraments in the service of the community. We give our lives to others. Holy orders and matrimony are about that. And they symbolize that period in our life when we're ready to give ourselves away for the rest of our lives. And in giving ourselves away, mysteriously, miraculously, always to find ourselves, always to replenish ourselves. Because you see, that's what God has been doing since the beginning of time. He's been always giving himself away, and he never runs out. His supply is unlimited, and so can ours be when we're united with him. So that's another aspect of the church's worship, sacraments helping us to map our lives. And then another aspect is the liturgy of the hours, which more and more Catholics are coming to know about. It's always been a tradition in among priests and in religious houses to celebrate the different hours of the day with special prayers from the Psalms. So there'll be morning prayer and evening prayer and prayer at noon, nighttime prayer. In monasteries and among religious and priests, it's the custom to say the divine office, to say the Psalms, and have special readings and prayers to mark the passing of the hours of the day. And more Catholics are gathering for morning prayer and evening prayer and making that a regular part of their lives. That, too, is worship. Not only marking our entire lives as we do with the sacraments, but actually marking the hours of the individual day. So you see, our worship is not just about going to church once a week. It's about marking our entire lives, and it's about marking the hours of our individual day. And our church, by its lifestyle, which is what this liturgy is, teaches us that we can make part of our lifestyle in our everyday world the marking of our life in God. Because remember, after all, you and I are made in the image and likeness of God.
Thank you for joining us today for the Spirituality of the Catholic Church with Father Paul Keenan. You may write to Father Keenan in care of the Office of Communications, Diocese of New York, 1011 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.